Anybody watch TV in the 80s? Anybody watch TV in the 80s? I want to do just a little bit of trivia, if you will. Wesley, this will not apply to you. But there was some really good like TV shows in the 80s. Now, I was born in 79, so I was like a kid. So most of the TV shows I watched in the 80s were cartoons, like He-Man and Transformers and stuff like that. But there was one show that carried on from the 80s into the early 90s. And see if you remember this theme song. I'm not going to sing it for you, but I will do the lyrics. Because if I sing it for you, it'll give it away, like in a heartbeat. But here's the lyrics. New boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs, and it's understood he's there just to take good care of me like he's one of the family. Anybody? Fred, no, it's not the theme song of Fresh Prince. Fresh Prince wasn't in the 80s either, man. Nobody. New boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs and it's understood. He's there just to take good care of me like he's one of the family. Charles in charge of our days. And our nights. You got it right? Never heard of it. Scott Baio. Come on.
I know who that is.
Charles in charge. So the lyric is, Charles in charge of our days and our nights. Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights. And it was this, he was kind of a live-in Manny, if you will. The first Manny. You're a college kid kind of babysitting, right? And so, but what made me think about this was, strangely, in Pastor Susie's message last week, that came to mind. Not when she was over here cursing, but another part in the service. And so I thought about that. You know, it's the song is Charles in charge of our days and our nights, Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights. And I thought when she was talking about who, you know, who's in charge, like when we put Jesus as Lord of our life, we are essentially saying, you're in charge, right? You're in charge. Let me remind you of the scripture that she read, because we're talking tonight about who's in charge. Everybody say that, who's in charge? If your spouse is beside you, just look at them and ask the question, who's in charge? Don't answer the question, just ask it. Because if you answer the question the day after Valentine's Day, you, okay, you might be in trouble. Romans 10, 9 and 10. So I just want to kind of add on a little bit to straighten out what Pastor Susie said last week. Add on a little bit. So would you put that up there, Romans 10, 9. You guys know it. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the... Good luck. With the heart... One believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So we say that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is what?
Lord.
Okay, now let me remind you of a part of the definition that she shared with us last week. Lord is one having power and authority over others, a supreme master. And this is where it really got me singing Charles in Charge, because she said, he to whom a person belongs, about which... he has the power of deciding. He to whom a person belongs, about which he has the power of deciding. So essentially when we say Jesus is Lord, we are saying we give you the power to decide the happenings, the comings, the goings, the things that are, we give you authority. We submit to your authority. We submit to your lordship. You're in charge. We put him in charge. He's in charge of us. Okay. Now we know from, you know, a few months ago, we talked about hashtag QTNA. That God's not in control, right? So there seems to be this dichotomy, if you will. God's not in control of the world and what's happening in the universe. Satan is the little g god of this world. But Jesus is Lord over those who would submit to him as Lord. And when I submit to him, I give him control over me and everything in that I have, of which I have influence. Okay? Does that make sense? And so I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but we submit to his lordship. We put him in control. We say, Jesus, come take control of me. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll say what you tell me to say. And we're expecting him to instruct us in that way. I mean, that's one of the benefits, is that we no longer have to decide. He is the one who has the power to decide. And when we submit to him, we're not deciding. The only decision we make is to follow. And so we just, you know, keep our eyes on him. Keep going where he's going. It really makes it easy for us to live our lives if we just follow this principle. Just keep your eyes on him. Don't lose sight of the back of his head. He's going somewhere. You follow him. Keep holding on to his hand. He's going to lead you. You understand what I'm saying? So if I'm following somebody, I don't really have to think about all the decisions that I have to make. I just have to keep in line with him. It makes it easy. It makes it easy, but we complicate it because our mind gets in the way. And we start thinking about, is this right or wrong? Is this really what he's telling me to do? You ever been there? You ever complicated it? Oh, man. I've complicated it too much. And it's supposed to be really simple. I just follow him. I just like Dory, just keep swimming. All these pop culture references are lost on you guys. Gee whiz. All right. I'm gonna talk to Pastor Matt and Susie, because I know they'll get this one. Because they introduced me to this show called The Prophet.
I know that show.
Okay. All right. Anybody else, have you seen the show The Prophet? Not P-R-O-P-H-E-T, but P-R-O-F-I-T. It's a show on CNBC, I think. I watch it on Hulu. I don't know. So have you seen it? Okay, cool. So for the rest of you, let me kind of give you an idea of what takes place. So it's this millionaire, entrepreneur, investor who is attempting to rescue failing businesses by putting his money on the line in hopes of getting a deal with these people to gather part of the share of the company. Okay, does that make sense to you? The guy's name is Marcus Lemonis. So he tries to help these struggling businesses turn around, puts cash into their business. And he's a savvy guy. He's got a lot of wisdom. And the only way, here's the caveat, the only way he'll do business with some of these struggling companies is if they do three things. One, they have to know the numbers. So they have to know, you know, the profit and loss and, you know, kind of have their act in order about what's going on in the business itself. Two, they have to agree to trust the process, that things aren't going to turn around overnight. And then the third thing is they have to agree that he's 100% in charge. Okay? So whether he owns 25% of the company as part of the deal, or whether he owns 51% or 70% or whatever deal he structures, the company, the owner of the business, has to agree that Marcus Lemonis is 100% in charge. Okay? So they put Marcus in charge, and he's supposed to kind of turn these things around, but they're supposed to do what he says to do. They're supposed to listen to what he says. So imagine this. Imagine that you're a business owner in need of rescue. So financially speaking, you're in the red, negative. Some of you, this doesn't take much to imagine. It's not a stretch for your imagination. Negative bank balance with all sorts of debt. You need a bailout, okay? So here comes Marcus as an investor. He's willing to fork out the cash to turn things around. But the caveat is that, of course, he is 100% in charge. You want to make a big decision about the company, but you're not in charge anymore. So you have to run it by him and ultimately get him to sign off on it, if in fact it would work that way. But the thing is, he's the one with the ideas. He's the one with the wisdom. He's the one with the experience and expertise. He's the one with the great record sheet of success in his portfolio. I've I've seen episodes of this show where the business owners are just freaking out. Like they have put their blood, sweat, and tears into this business. And whether maybe they signed the deal and they said, yeah, you get 25% for X amount of dollars, but I agree you're 100% in charge. But I don't like it. And they kind of buck the system a little bit. I've seen some kind of go behind the guy's back and do things the way they used to do it, or do something completely offhand. And you want to see a guy get mad. Marcus Lemonis can get mad when you don't do what he tells you to do. When you've already agreed that he's 100% in charge, he doesn't like it. And so these owners, they have these serious control issues. But here's the thing. Here's the thing you have to understand about this guy. He wants the company to succeed. He's invested. He wants the business to prosper. He wants the business to profit. It's the whole idea behind the show. And so with his expertise, with his connections, he does everything in his power to help this business succeed and turn things around and thrive. But some people get nervous. They think, well, what if it doesn't work? Well, they've already seen that what they've been doing isn't working. They've proven that their track record isn't working. Well, what if, you know, in having, here's the other side of the thing. What if in having, maybe their deal is structured in the way that they have given up 51% of the company? And with Marcus being 100% in charge, what if he takes over and I'm left with nothing? At each of these deals, that's not the case. Marcus Lemonis has the best interests of the company at heart. He knows if the company succeeds, he succeeds. So I thought this is a great parallel to our relationship with the Lord Jesus. When we broker a deal with him, so to speak, when we sign on the dotted line and say, here you go, really, all you have to work with me, there's not much that I can offer in this deal. You know, here's my body. Like, you can take up residence here. So there's not much for us to offer in the way of, you know, giving to God. But when we structure this deal with Jesus, we're receiving all that he has. And we're saying, you're 100% in charge. But many of us, we begin to get nervous. For others, it's like they don't want to. I've seen people, you know, in our community when we've tried to lead them in a prayer to make Jesus their Lord, they get nervous. Well, does this mean I have to stop doing this and this and that and the other? And they start to get nervous and they're like, okay, well, I'm backing out. I don't want him 100% in charge because I like the way I'm doing things. Even though it's led to hopelessness and despair and I'm broke, but I like what I'm doing. It's comfortable. And we tend to like the same. And that's not just for unbelievers. It's for believers who have signed on and said, you're 100% in charge, but I'm going to go over here and do my own thing because it's what I've known. It's what I used to know. Feels comfortable to me. Maybe it just makes me feel a little good on the inside for a moment, for a season. But if, you know, if the profit scenario here is what it's like to submit to the authority of an entrepreneur and an investor, what should it be like to submit to the Lord of all creation? Who has, I mean, think about Marcus. He has the best interests of the company at heart. Well, God in his infinite love, unconditional love, and his infinite wisdom has your best interest at heart. And he's got a plan. He's got a purpose for you. He wants to see you thrive. He wants to see you prosper and succeed. He wants you to see you live the abundant life. And guess what? He has ways to help you do that. He has processes. He has people that he's worked with before that he will hook you up with. These divine connections. When I submit to Jesus, I agree that he's 100% in charge. And in that submitting, the only way it really works out for me, just like in the only way it really works out for these companies, the only way it really works out is if I trust him. Is if I trust him. Now, I can trust him based on, you know, several criteria. I can trust him based on what he's done for others, which is what we see in that show. Well, you've done this for, you know, this company. I watched the show. This is season 5 or 6 or however many it is now. I've seen what you've done before. And so I trust you based on what you've done for somebody else. We can trust him. We can trust God based on his word. And in his word, we see what he's done for others. It's a whole history of what he's done for those who've come before us. And so we can trust him based on that. And we can trust him based on his character. Like Jeff talked about in his offering message, that God is love. Love would have someone's best interest at heart. And so if I submit to his lordship, I'm submitting to his love. And I know because he loves me that he wants the best for me. And I will profit, I will prosper, I will thrive, I will succeed if I just trust him and trust the process of him working in me and changing me, molding me, shaping me, making me into who he wants me to be, clearing out all the old stuff that's not worked in the past. Let's get rid of that. Hey, that way of thinking, that process that you have been working from for the past decade, it's broken, man. Let's get rid of that. Out with the old, in with the new. Here's a new way of thinking. Here's a new way of doing. Here's a new way of being. But when I submit to Christ, you see, my faith in Christ is much more than just a belief system. Okay? When we say, I believe in Jesus, it's much more than just believing that he existed or that he was a person who made an impact in history. I mean, I believe that Abraham Lincoln was real, but I don't put my trust in the $5 bill. You know what I'm saying? So my faith in Christ and your faith in Christ should be more than just a set of beliefs or a set of doctrinal ideas or even a set of morals, right and wrong. My faith in Christ is trust in him, total reliance on him. I'm leaning into him. If I'm following him, if I'm holding his hand, then I've got to trust that he's going to lead me to a good place. So here are some areas where we can deepen our trust in him. By submitting to his lordship, him being 100% in charge, Christ is in charge of what? All right? Christ's in charge of our days and our nights. Christ's in charge of our wrong and our right. Okay, so your days and your nights. This is just for fun. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here you go, your wrongs and your rights. Romans 12:9. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. All right, those are just bonuses for fun. What is he in charge of? He's in charge of your words. And beyond just your words, but the meditations of your heart. Okay, not just the flippant thoughts that cross by your head, because those can come from unlikely sources. And you can dismiss those. Take them captive, the scripture says. But the meditation of your heart, what are you dwelling on? Psalm 19:14. I love this scripture. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So we submit the words of our mouth to him. God, you're 100% in charge of what I say. That's the idea. If he's 100% in charge, he should be 100% in charge of what we say. How often have we messed that one up? And we say what we don't mean. We say hurtful things. We speak without thinking. Should we submit that to him? God, I submit the words of my mouth to you. And then the meditation of our heart. What are we dwelling on? What are we thinking about over and over and over? What are we meditating on? And a lot of the meditating that we do is mindless meditation. just mulling over, hey, what are we eating for lunch tomorrow? It's not that it's bad or wrong. It's just mindless. It's vain. It's useless. May the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. What better thing to meditate on than His words? To put those words and let those roll around on the inside of us. Okay. We submit to Him. He's 100% in charge. He's 100% in charge. What's He in charge of? Our words and the meditation of our heart. He's in charge of our bodies. Our bodies. Pastor Susie mentioned this last week. Let me read to you the scripture that she referenced. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Now, we could get into all kinds of ways that we dishonor God with our body, but what are some ways that we can honor God with our body? I mean, because I don't have to rattle off a list of ways that you could dishonor God with your body. You know those. Some of you know them too well. How can we honor God with our body? We can get Jesus tattoos. That's the first thing. No, kidding. If you want to, go for it. I'm not going to shame you. We could honor God with our body. Well, we can go where He tells us to go. We can be His hands and His feet in the earth. What better way to honor God with your body than actually being an instrument of His love? God, I offer you my body. Hey, man, you got a day off? Why don't you work 8 hours in the mission field? God, here's my body. Or Gert, an hour. God, here's my body. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be your voice. I'll be your mouthpiece to a generation that needs you. A way to honor God with your body. All right. Submit to Him. He's 100% in charge. He's in charge of the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. He's in charge of my body. I am His hands. I am His feet. I am His mouthpiece. I also submit to Him and realize that when He's 100% in charge, He's 100% in charge, again, of my money. He's 100% in charge of my money. And this is where the businesses really kind of start to freak out. Because, I mean, that's what they're in it for. Isn't it right? They're in it to provide for their families. They're in it to make a profit and succeed and do well. They're in it to provide for other people, their employees. These are very, you know, very good ideas and positive ways to ideas for being in business. But when Marcus starts to mess with their money, even though many of them didn't have any, because they want more. They can kind of get a little greedy. Greed starts to creep in, and that's the same way with us. God, you're 100% in charge. I'm going to submit to you when it's convenient for me. And this, you know, you wanting 10% of my money stuff, is it quite convenient? I need 100% or I'm going to starve. It's really quiet in here. I know it's not funny. It's not meant to make you laugh or anything like that. I mean, it is serious, you know. But if He's 100% in charge, maybe, just maybe, we should run some of our purchases by Him. I mean, if we thought a little bit more, we would be a little bit less broke. Probably a lot less in debt. Do you realize that many of the purchases we make are made on impulse? The marketers know that too. They train them up from the young age, because you know, when you got young kids, you're in that checkout aisle. All the good stuff is right within their reach. And my kids have picked up those things off of those shelves, knowing that I'm going to say, no, you can't have that, and blatantly put it on the checkout thing, hoping I wouldn't see it. They train them when they're young. But us older people can give in too. Oh, that little Reese's looks pretty good today. No, I don't need this. Oh, it's only $1.50. Put it up there. 30 of those later, and you've spent how much? $45. Good night. It's an expensive impulse buy right there. But I mean, that's the bottom end, man. What do we just think about that? The purchases we make, if we just do that, if we submit that to him. Now, it's better if we just offer him all of it. If we say, here it is, and when I say offer him all of it, I'm not saying bring every amount that's in your paycheck to the church. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if he's Lord of your money, if he's 100% in charge of your money, you should listen to him when he tells you what to do with it. You would be a much wiser steward of your money if you listened to him and how you spend it, how you save it, how you give it. Not in that order. How you give, how you save, how you spend. I believe it's important. I mean, this is a principle I've lived by for a long time, and I can't tell you that I've always gotten it right. There's been times where I've been selfish, where I've been at the point where I've had money come in, and I'll tell you a story. Like, I wanted a new TV. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? I wanted a new TV, right? And so I had this side gig where I performed this wedding, okay? And you know, I made a couple $100. I'm like, okay, well, I want to use this money to get a new TV. Now, it was a TV for the bedroom. We didn't really need one for a new one for the other place, but we didn't have one in our bedroom. And so I was like, well, I can get one now. And I was going to get a used one, so I was going to be wise and do that. And here I am, and making plans for this $200 that I got. And I'm driving home, and I'm like, all right, man, I'm going to go tomorrow, and I'm going to get my TV. I've been wanting it for a long time, and haven't really had any extra to spend on that. And I just heard the Lord just an impression on the inside say, was that what that's money for? What that money is for? Is that what that money is for? He said it a lot more, you know, clearer than I did. Got it all jumbled up. But he says, it's just a question. Is that what that money's for? And as I began to think about that, I realized that he had a greater purpose for it. And so submitting to him and saying you're 100% in charge means that sometimes I got to deny myself. Sometimes I got to say, you know what? I don't really need that right now. And I'll tell you that a couple months later, that I got a great deal on a TV for $80 for my bedroom. Wow. Yeah, that's a really nice TV too. But the Lord set all that up. But I was able to use that money that he gave me for a greater purpose, to give, to be a blessing. But how often do we consult with him? Man, I think it would be a great practice. When we receive any money, whether it's money that we know that we're getting, a salary, paycheck, whatever it is, or whether it's from a side gig or you sold something on eBay or whatever, we would just take a moment, say, God, what's this for? Now, for those of you in financial peace, you're making You're making decisions about that already. Consult with him about your budget. Consult with him. Some of it's already set, right? You got your, I don't want to go into too much detail here, but you got stuff that's already, it's already spoken for. Some of you don't really have any extra. I want to tell you, if you flip that budget on its head and begin to give first, you'll see that when you didn't have any extra in the budget before, when you start giving and trusting God with your money, I promise you, I don't know how it works, but you'll see extra after. You will. I've seen it in my life time and time and time again. It's been amazing to see God provide in so many different ways. But it begins by trusting Him. Man, do you think He knows how you need to spend your money in the wisest way possible? Do you think He knows where, how much you need to save at this point in your life? Man, He knows. He knows, and He has your best interest at heart. He's not wanting to take from you. He doesn't. Really? You think the Lord needs your $300? I mean, these are the thoughts we have. Oh, God, you just taking all my stuff. What does He need with your... He's God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's not about Him getting your money. It's about Him getting your trust so that He can get more to you. Because He can trust you with it, because you're going to ask Him, what do I do with this when it comes in? And when you get the $200, I'll tell you what. The $200 side gig was one thing, but when the guy showed up on my doorstep with $800 in cash, that was another thing. I didn't do anything to earn this. It was God saying, I trust you. And we sat down at that table and we asked Him, God, what do you want us to do with this? Could you think of a bunch of stuff you could do with $800 cash? I don't have to write this on my taxes. The IRS isn't going to know. You could start to think about a billion things you could get with $800. $800 is a lot of money, isn't it? I didn't do anything to earn this. Yeah, I had needs. I began to think about all the bills I could pay with that. Oh, yeah, man, we could pay this off. Isn't that exciting? Well, I'm debt-free, except for my house, praise the Lord. God's helped me get there. Not because of anything I did, but just all I did was say, you're 100% in charge. And when you do that, He's got your best interest at heart. What did I do with $800, you're wondering? I could have bought a really nice TV with that. And I gave most of it away. I was His hands. We were His feet. And when you put Him 100% in charge, you realize He's 100% in charge of your money, and you submit to that, you can live with an open hand, and an open hand can receive, an open hand can give, and you're going to be in a much better place. I mean, being worried and concerned about your money is entrapment and enslavement. Trust in Him, and it's you can live just so free. So free. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to live there? All right, I got to speed up. He's 100% in charge. Your words, meditations of your heart, your body, your money, ouch, and your relationships. He's in charge of it all, isn't He? Ephesians 5, 21 through 25. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And this is in the context of marriage relationship here. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Now, most preachers would stop there and start to come down on the little women in the place. But it doesn't stop there, gentlemen. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Let that sink in for a little bit. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. You think you've submitted to God in your relationship just because you bought your boo a Valentine's Day card yesterday with some chocolate and some flowers. What kind of sacrifice did that take? 15 minutes at Target? I'm not one that hates Valentine's Day or says don't buy into the hype or anything. You know, I got my wife candy and I got, yeah, she got me wings. So it's even switch there. Calorie for calorie. All right. I'll see your 1,000 calories and raise you 100. Okay. But there's a mutual submission in marriage. We submit to Christ. We first submit to Him. He's 100% in charge. And by doing so, we submit to each other as husband and wife. And we put Him in charge of our relationships. How much better would our relationships be if we put Christ in charge instead of us trying to be in charge? So much of our time in our relationships is spent us trying to control and manipulate the other person. Because we don't like that they're doing this or that, or they didn't do that, or we're trying to change behavior. But if we focus on submitting to Christ 100%, submitting to that person, sacrificing ourselves for them, we will see change in our relationships. Change for the better. We will. All right, you say you're not married. Well, how about this? John 15:13. Good verse there, Jeff. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus is the ultimate example of sacrifice. But he also says, guess what? These relationships that you have, these friendships that you have, lay your life down. No greater love. Lay your life down. Spend a lot of time on this. You're everything. He's 100% in charge. He's 100% in charge of your everything. We have too often put Him 50% in charge. 49%. And maybe a good 80% on like our good day. But if He's 100% in charge, He's in charge of everything. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ.